Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back, family, to Galatians.
Woo, woo, woo.
You're listening to The Way. We're so glad that you've decided to spend some time in the Word with us, and we're going to get right into it. You're with Zach and Zoe and Zenya.
Yeah, that's right.
But don't worry, you won't be catching any Z's on this podcast.
Oh, come on now.
We're going to keep it alive in the Spirit.
Come on.
Amen.
Come
hallelujah.
On. All right, why don't you flip open to Galatians 6 with us, and we're just going to dive straight in. So get your Bibles open, and let's get reading. Zenya, do you want to read maybe verses 1 to 10 for us, and then we'll dive into it a little bit?
I can do that. I can give it my best shot.
You got this, son.
Thank you. I feel affirmed already. Okay, so the Bible says, this is Paul speaking to the people of Galatia. And he says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer, wow, how have I flopped already?
No,
I'm like 5 seconds in.
You got this.
I've already been stumbling and bumbling. That's crazy. We'll circle back. Screw it. Okay, this is Paul. What he actually says is, yeah, that was just the warm up. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Lol. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
Wow, that was so beautifully read.
Thank you, I tried.
You're successful.
This is already off to a great start. It's kind of bittersweet though, I'm not going to lie. Because it's like, this is the last chapter. This is like the finale of the long list of stuff that Paul's been talking about and how he's been calling out these people, but then also presenting the gospel, but then also re-explaining the gospel, but then also like going, throwing it back to the Old Testament and talking about Abraham and all this. Like, we've gone through a journey to get here, and he's like, hey guys, help each other out. Like, it's kind of like it's a weird way to segue in application, I feel like. Because before this, he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Which we talked about last week. Or last episode. Lord, I don't know when this is coming out. But yeah, last episode we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And now he's like, okay, now that you understand the characteristics of God, this is how you apply it. So it feels like a little bit punchy. To me, I was like, why are we talking about people that are sinning? Like, it feels a bit weird. But I also think it makes sense.
It's interesting because he also warns then, as you come alongside someone who is like caught up in sin, watch out that you don't get tempted too.
Mm.
Bro, I feel this all the time.
Mm.
Like the influence of the people around you. Actually, my dad used to say growing up that you become most like the 5 people that you spend the most time with. And so apparently
specific.
You can like track where someone's kind of trajectory is headed based on the people that they're spending the most time with. I think that's interesting because like Paul somehow knows this and he acknowledges it. He's like, be careful as you come alongside those who are caught in sin that you don't end up doing the same.
Right.
So like just be conscious in that. But then also kind of aside from that, still come alongside them.
Yeah.
Like, we're not meant to like live in fear of that, but just awareness of it. Mm. And then help each other out. It's like, this is a family, man.
Mm.
This isn't like a bunch of individuals.
Yeah.
That are just like all just looking towards Christ individually. Mm. Like, I'm out here helping out Zoe. I'm out here helping out Xenia.
Thank you.
And I hope you guys are going to help me out as well.
Yeah.
And we're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to encourage each other, all that sort of thing. It's all that good stuff.
Mm, that's so good. And it's like, I mean, how Paul starts this chapter, brothers and sisters, like he's just reinforcing we are family. Mm. And as a family, we need to call each other higher. And in that, when somebody's caught in a sin, in verse one, he says, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
And so we have to, wait, is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Not me second guessing myself.
No, man, but be confident, you do that.
Let me log
you
in.
You do that.
No, I did know that. See, that is encouragement. That's lifting up your brothers and sisters.
Practical application. Let's go.
Anyway, sorry. Oh, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And so you've got to, when you're, sorry, let me lock in. Okay, sorry. Okay,
memory isn't one of the fruits of the
no,
Spirit.
No, memory so is totally not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Valid, okay.
Yeah, word.
Oh gosh. Okay. So you're gently restoring the person who's been caught in a sin.
Mm.
The word caught that Paul uses, it's like, it connotes being overtaken by sin, as opposed to intentionally sinning, going about to be like, I'm going to go against the will of God because I want to. It's like, oh no, this person's found themselves seduced by the devil or just caught in a sin of the flesh. And so when coming alongside that person to gently pick them up and to restore them. And the word restore here in the secular Greek was the word katartivo. Definitely botched that pronunciation.
Shout out to the Greek. Yeah. Thank you.
So I'm so sorry.
Shout out to the Greeks.
but that word had like a medical meaning back in Greece, and it meant to like set a fractured or a dislocated bone so that it would go be put back into the right place so that it could heal itself.
Mm.
So I just feel like Paul is saying here that our responsibility as fellow believers is kind of similar to one that a doctor has for a patient that he's caring for.
Wow.
You have to see that your brother or sister is in need and you have that responsibility to help them get back on their feet and to be put back onto the path that they need to, like the straight and narrow path that Jesus talks about to set them back into, you know, righteousness and living for God and not to do that in a way that's shameful, because when doctors talk about treatment for illness, they don't make you feel bad that like you have eczema or asthma or whatever. Like they'll just be like, okay, you have this, so this is the plan on how I'm going to help you get out of that. And I feel like that is like the gentleness that Paul is referring to, that there's like no shame or condemnation in Christ, and so we shouldn't condemn our brothers or sisters when they fall, but we should do our best to help them get back up.
I think this also speaks to like proximity of relationship. I really like the analogy of like the body and like the doctoring and nursing people, because Paul also talks about how we're part of the body of Christ in another book. I think it's in 1 Corinthians, which basically means we're all different members of the church. We're all different members of the body, like Christ is the head and we are the body, which means there's a responsibility for us to encourage each other, champion each other and help each other out, because this Christian life is difficult.
Yeah.
But we can only do that with proximity. And when you speak to somebody and you call them higher, that's where the gentleness comes in, because the gentleness comes from a place of relationship. Like, I know you, so I can speak to you. I can speak to that thing in a way that is gentle. Whereas if I'm just like calling out something in a random person I don't know, that can come across as judgment. And I think that's the difference between gentleness and judgment. It's relationship, it's proximity, which I think is like really good to discern and to know. So like, even if you're like listening to this podcast and you're like, oh, I don't know whether I should tell that person or I'm seeing something in someone, should I go and speak? It's like, yes, if another believer is overcome by sin, first of all, are they a believer? But second of all, like, are you part of the body together? Like, do you have relational equity? Do you know each other? Because I think that allows us to speak in. Because even with Jesus, like, you see him with the woman at the well, like, he speaks to her and he confronts her about her life, but not from a place of like condemnation, but he's God, he's all knowing, like he knew what she was going through. So he was able to speak into that. Mm-hmm. And I think we can also learn from that too, of like, do we know the people, do we journey, do we do life with each other? Mm-hmm. Okay, I can speak in gentleness into this situation. Mm-hmm. I can call my brother and sister higher. Yeah.
That's so good.
Wow. I was thinking of also another example that came to mind when you were talking about Jesus mm-hmm. enacting this, was Jesus with the rich young man.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where he basically, it says, Jesus said to him, what am I looking for? And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and then said to him, mm-hmm. you lack one thing, go sell all that you have and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that exact thing you're talking about love comes first.
Yeah.
And then out of love flows like helpful correction.
Yeah.
And I think if we look then into like verse 4 and 5,
mm-hmm.
then it even goes into more specifics of that, of love does not compare to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, I read that it says, but let each one test his own work. I read that that could be compared to like, kind of like the word prove, or like when gold is tested, it's put in the fire to see how pure it is. And so it's almost like put yourself into the fire of your own testing. So like test and prove your own actions and don't compare to someone else. Because when we compare, we then often begin to judge. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, compare to what the Lord has called you to.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what has the Lord called me to? What is he challenging me to? What are some things in the word that the Lord says I should be living according to? And then I'm going to judge, I'm going to kind of like judge myself and my own actions based on what the Lord is saying, rather than how I size up compared to my neighbor. And I think that's really helpful as well as a heart posture, because if you are not attacking someone from a position of comparison, then it leaves more room for loving relationship.
Yeah, I thought maybe to just hit back on verses 2 and 3, because I think there was some oomph in there, like there was something in there. And Paul's talking about how like we shouldn't fall into the same temptations that we're trying to help people out of. And also just to like give a little bit of context, maybe you're listening to this for the first time and you're like, what is Paul talking about? Who is he talking to? At the time, there was basically a move of people that were becoming Christians. And so you had new Christians that were like from the Jewish tradition, that came from a more Jewish background, which meant that they followed the law before they became Christians. And then you had the Gentiles, which were non-Jewish Christians. So people that are just hearing about this for the first time, they're like, hey, Jesus is cool. Like I'm trying to get involved. And then you had this melting pot of different people from different backgrounds that also kind of interpreted the faith differently. And all the laws from like the Torah that we see are basically being told that you guys have to still do that. So the Jewish Christians were like, you guys still need to get circumcised though, like, or just to let you know, like you got to tick these boxes before you can come to God. Mm-hmm. And so there was a bit of a confusion about what the gospel message really is. So that's what Paul like attacks and he addresses. But I think it's really important to note that, because when it talks about like different sins, that could also be like the theology or like the understanding, and how as a community of believers, like we have a responsibility to help each other out in our understanding of faith. Like we've all got questions and we might have things that we don't understand or things that we might get wrong, but we are a community and we can help each other out. We can pray together. We can Bible study together. We can journey through life together. But I also thought it was really interesting that he said, to not fall into the same temptations. And I think a lot about, you know, in the book of Acts, when you see the disciples going out into different cities, different towns and sharing the gospel, they always went out in groups of like 2 and 3. They never really went out by themselves. And I often thought like, okay, why is it? Because like there was a lot of like opposition and things coming against them. And I do think there's part of that, but I also think there's wisdom in doing things in numbers and doing things with people, because you can actually like not have to bear the weight by yourself. And also some things you might not know, and that's okay. Like it's okay to not know all the answers or not have all the resources to help people, but it's always good to point people in the direction of where they can get help or people that can assist. So I think doing things in community and helping people out together. Like, it's not on me to help this person with an issue that I don't understand, but I can call people to help as well. I think that's so sweet that Paul's inviting us into like this communal helping each other. I don't know. There's something really beautiful about that.
Mm.
It's not all on you. Mm. If you're listening to this, it's not all on you.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, facts. You can bring other people into the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Hey, I feel like verse 6 is like kind of like disjunct from the rest of it. Did you guys notice that?
What do you mean by that?
I feel like, so it says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. I was like, bro, it just feels random to me. Like, what? How does it connect? Do you guys feel like it connects with either the verses 1 to 5 or verses 7 to 10? Because I'm like, it feels like just he's thrown in a random sentence of teaching and then continues on with the point that he was making.
I feel like it does. I feel like this is like a bridge moment to what he's going to talk about. Because he starts talking about like, don't grow weary of doing good and like, do good to all people, like at the right time we'll reap a harvest and stuff. So the language of like goodness is already coming through, which I also think is interesting because goodness is a fruit of the spirit as well. So we talked about gentleness, we talked about goodness, we talked about love, like all these different things are fruit of the spirit. So Paul's basically like showing us how we can live that out in our context, which is super practical, which makes it so good. But I think it's important to note that, like, one of the things that I was thinking about is, you know, in the New Testament, when Jesus calls the disciples, he's like, okay, cool, got you guys in. Now go out into the towns and help people. And he basically says, like, don't worry about bringing food with you or bringing finance with you or trying to provide for yourself. Because when you go out to help people, they will partner with you. Like, they will give you places to stay. They will give you food to eat and stuff. And I think we have a shared responsibility to also help out other people in the body of Christ, other Christians that are doing, you know, doing the good works. So with the teachers thing, it's like, oh, my teachers are providing, they are sharing the word, they're doing things and using their giftings. Maybe I don't have those giftings, but I can help partner with them to advance what God is doing. Like, I know like a lot of times in Christian circles, we've got like people that go out on missions or like go to other countries and like help people, give back to charity or just help to share the gospel. And like, we can also partner with them and support what God is doing over there. Even if I can't do it here, I can support and I can help there. So I think there's like a mutual helping those that are also advancing the gospel, helping those that are also being used by God in order to do good works. Like, these are all good things. We're just helping, providing resource and pushing further what God is doing, which is already good. Which also like means that we're in that family, like we're helping each other. Like, it's back to that whole body of Christ imagery. Like, we're one body. We're just helping what's already going on here. I don't know if I explained that properly, no, if you're catching it.
But yeah, that makes sense.
It's good. And like providing those resources, like I think Paul's speaking more specifically here about like financially supporting. Mine says with their instructor, it says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Why can't I say that word? But the good things here, I think Paul was speaking about finances. And I love this image of the early church, which we also see in Acts, where everyone would just share their possessions with one another. And if somebody didn't have something, someone else in the body, in the church, would be like, oh, well, I actually have this money that I can give to you. And actually, because I have it, it's yours. Yeah. And I just like, it's just this selflessness and the truth that we love because he first loved us, he being Jesus, he being God. And like through that is an overflow of like selflessness and sacrifice in things that can be so, so important to us, like money nowadays. And even if you don't have a lot of money, the good things here that we're sharing with our instructors isn't limited to that. It's like we can pray as well. But yeah, I love that Zen and it made total sense. So.
And just to like hit again off that, there's this Greek word that I really love in the New Testament. It's called koinonia. And like, it's that word for like fellowship, community. And it's a spiritual practice. It's like we get to spend time with God and we also get to spend time with each other and pour into each other, which goes back to what it says in verse 2 about in this way, obeying the law of Christ.
Yeah.
Like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, all that. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Like in doing fellowship with each other, in doing this koinonia, we actually get to live that out. And that's through like us having relationships with our teachers, us having relationships with each other, us doing the Acts 2 thing of like, oh, you don't have, let me provide for you. Like all of that is godly. And God shows up in that, which is like fun fact.
I love how he builds the point by then saying that doing those types of things is like planting seeds. And you can plant seeds in almost like two different types of fields. One field is the field for myself.
Right.
It's the field of like the physical things that I desire. Mm. And then the other field is the spiritual one. And the way that we plant in the spiritual field is by doing those good things and by living a life of service and sacrifice for the benefit of the community.
Yes.
And I think it's so interesting, this analogy, because literally where you plant is where you will sow.
Yeah.
Where you drop your seed is where the fruit will be produced.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like if you were to make an investment, you're gonna receive the returns from that investment in that company that you've originally invested in. Yeah. So if I'm putting all of my resources and energy and time into building something that's not going to last, aka my life on earth, then the rewards are similarly not going to last past my own death, just to put it bluntly. But if I am to invest in things that last beyond this physical earthly life as we know it now, then those rewards will also last beyond that. And so if you want to reap from a field that's going to last beyond just this life, then you need to start sowing now in that field, which is done by doing good deeds towards the benefit of the community, which I think is so, so cool.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and that's good.
I love how God partners with us in our sowing of these seeds. And it just reminded me when you were speaking then of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow.
Mm.
And it takes the pressure off as well, because we have the responsibility as believers to sow the seed and share the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it's on God. God comes into our lives with that. He partners with us in our sowing, and he will bear much fruit through that, through our dedication and our sacrifice and our giving. I don't know if you are feeling, whilst you're watching, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. You can, because God is with you, and God is strengthening you, and it's him that is working through your works for him to just bear much fruit and just make that abundantly more than we could ever imagine.
I find it interesting how he says you cannot mock the justice of God. I think sometimes we can sow bad seed and wonder, why is this not growing? Why are there weeds here? Like, why is there no trees? What's going on? And it's like, bro, you're sowing bad fruit. That's why. Like, I had a preacher say once, like, God won't bless your mess. And that's always stuck with me. Like, if I'm consciously sowing into my flesh, as the Bible says, or doing things for my earthly life, like you were talking about, Zach, like, and I'm out here doing that, and I'm surprised why I'm not bearing fruit. It's like, well, bro, you're not going to bear fruit. Like, God's not going to bless that. Do you know what I mean? And it reminded me of this story I read a couple months ago in the book of Judges, where there's this guy called Micah. He basically has these bunch of idols in a temple, like in his home or something. And he's like, oh, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one of the Levites to come and work in this space, because as long as he's here, God's going to bless us. And it's like, but that's an idol. Like, I'm pretty sure God's not going to bless that.
No.
But it's the same mentality of like, even like, it takes me back to when I was at school. Like, if I wouldn't study for an exam, then I would be praying, all right, God, like, I know you're all powerful. I know you're all. It's like, bro, you did no work.
I prayed that prayer.
Yeah, you're like, let's be honest and like self-reflect. Yeah. Respectfully, you didn't sow anything here. Like, you didn't sow anything, any good seed. So how can you expect to reap a good harvest? Like, it makes no sense. So I also think, like, you know how James says faith without works is dead and all that stuff. I'm not pushing a works message. What I am saying is that we do have a responsibility to sow well. And God gives us a choice in doing that. And so, like, don't sow bad and then expect things to turn out good. Like, actually be intentional and be honest with yourself. Like, am I sowing good seed? Am I being kind to people? Am I investing in my relationship with God? Am I spending time with him? Because then we'll reap a harvest. If not, don't be disappointed by the lack of harvest because there was a lack of sowing.
Yeah. And then he basically concludes that in verse 9 and 10.
Yeah.
He says, don't grow weary. Because in the right season, we are going to reap the spiritual reward if we don't give up, which he says in verse 8 is eternal life.
Yeah.
So if we are doing these good things, planting good seeds in the things that are valuable beyond this life, beyond ourselves, then let's not give up. Let's keep pushing into that. And we're going to reap the reward in due time. And so if you have the opportunity, do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So especially those in our family of believers, let's be really intentional to do good to one another. Let's be really intentional to plant those seeds. And that goes back to, as well, helping, part of planting those seeds is helping one another to plant seeds. Mm. So if I see you planting seeds in the wrong field, I'm going to come over and gently say, hey, man, like you might not have noticed, but I don't think this field is very fertile. Why don't you try planting in this one? Mm. And that's all wrapped up in doing good, which is all wrapped up in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is exactly what we've just read. Mm. Anything else to say on verses 1 to 10? Or should we move on?
I just wanted to emphasize that, like, don't grow weary of doing good thing.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to grow weary of doing good, especially if, like, the good you're doing isn't being recognized, or you're like, oh, I feel like a background character. Like, I'm just doing my part. Like, maybe you're just in school and you're like, I'm just here. Like, I show up, I do my work, but like, no one's clapping for me. What good is this? Maybe I don't want to do that. But I think what again, circling back to the fruit of the Spirit, what's another fruit? Patience.
Yeah.
It's the, even if I don't see the reward right now, it's in due time we'll reap the harvest. So the harvest is coming. The harvest is promised, but you have to remember that in the midst of doing good. One of my pastors at church was talking to us about this scripture last week, and he was saying, you know, you show up, you serve, you do the things, and you can get so caught in the motions. Now it's just like muscle memory. Like, I show up at this time, I meet these people, and it's like, then you forget, actually, the whole point of us doing this is because God shows up. Mm. We're doing this because God is here, because we are part of the body, because we want to see God move. And when we get so used to doing good things, we can forget that. And I think this is such a good reminder, just a quick reminder of like, hey, what you're doing has purpose. It has value. Even if it's not seen, even if it feels boring, even if you've been doing it for a long time, hey, a harvest is coming. Mm. So don't get tired. But actually, now is the time to press in and do more of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. You know? Yeah.
Hey. Yes, Lord.
More Lord. Facts. Should we move on? Read verse 11 to 18.
Yes, let's do it.
This is my favorite.
I think that's a good idea, Zach.
This is low key my favorite part of this whole book.
Is it?
I'm so excited.
Zach, do you want to read it?
I do.
He was like, I didn't want to ask, but I really
want to. Okay.
Yeah, go on. Take us there.
Verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. And only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
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 Quick word about verse 11.
Okay.
See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Yeah. This really confused me when I first read it. Mm. And I read a commentary where it said that often how people would write these letters to one another was they would tell a scribe what they wanted to be included in the letter. And then the scribe would actually be the one who would write it really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And what Paul would sometimes do is he would finish his letters writing himself. So he would actually grab the pen and say, okay, let me finish this.
Give me that pen.
I'm going to make it personal.
Yeah. I got something to say.
Yes, that's what Paul, he said. Yes, Paul.
Let me find this quote. Where is it?
I'm excited.
I'm so excited for this.
Okay, so this is from a theologian named Deisman, I think.
Okay. Said Zach.
Not for me. But he said that Paul's big letters are best explained as the clumsy, awkward writing of a workman's hand deformed by toil.
Wow.
So it's like, this is as real as it gets.
Yeah. Mm.
Paul is now writing himself. Mm. And this is basically like a verification that it is what he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
But then also B, like this is his conclusion of everything that we've read so far in Galatians. Someone used to use the analogy with me of a conclusion is like the end of a timeout in a sports game. So like your coach calls a timeout, he calls everyone over. Listen, this is what we need to change. This is the play that we're going to run.
Yeah.
But then the last sentence that the coach always says is like the most important thing from the timeout. Listen, if you're going to remember one thing, I need you to know you're catching the ball here and then you're going to pass it to this person. And that's like, This is if you walk away with nothing, walk away with this.
That's good.
And
I think that's kind of what Paul's emphasizing here. He's like, listen, this is me writing now, guys. It might look a little ugly, but this is what you need to know if you're to walk away with nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it would have been kind of cool reading that. And then like, it's kind of like breaking the fourth wall because you would have actually seen his writing and been like, bruh.
Paul, out.
Yeah. Work on that handwriting.
Nah, Paul, you gotta go to handwriting classes. Still never gonna get his pen license. Did you guys have pen license in school?
Yes.
You went to school in Canada. I don't know about that. Did you ever have you had to
write with pencils?
If you had the best handwriting, then you would get upgraded to no longer working with pencils, but working with pens. But that skipped my year group, so I actually never got my pen license.
Yeah,
I never got mine.
Oh, sorry.
I know, cool memory that I missed out on.
I did. I was so happy.
Flex that pen license.
I can share my pen license with
Paul.
Dude, Paul did not have his pen license. There's no way.
Guys, one thing that that kind of stood out to me in reading this was how he was talking about the teachers, going back to the thing of before, how I was talking about how there were this idea that was coming through that you needed to be circumcised. So going back to like the law of Moses and going back to all that stuff. And he says, those that are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good for others, and they don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ can save alone. And I think there was something that he said in verse 3 about if you think you're more important to help somebody else, then you're not, like, you're not that guy. My quoting of what Paul said, but I read it. I feel like he said, you're not that guy. But it goes back to a pride issue. I think there's a deeper issue of pride that Paul's unlocking here. And it goes back to something he says in another book, which is, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Mm. How we don't need to puff up the things that we can do for God, or if we tick X, Y, Z box, then that means we're going to be great with Jesus. That's awesome. Let's tell everybody that we need to start doing that. In fact, let's tell everybody that before, like, the cross thing, that's great. But like, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you read the Bible? Have you? And it's like, no, actually, it's about what Jesus does for us. It's about being saved through grace by faith. Is it by grace through faith or whatever? Anyways, the grace of God, which we receive through faith and through believing who Jesus is and what he's done on the cross. It's not about how much we can puff ourselves up. And the emphasis is not on how much we can do for God. The emphasis is on what God has done for us, how good Jesus is, and being transformed by that. And I love that he punches that in at the end. He's like, I want to reiterate, this is why I was writing this book. This is why I've written this letter. And hopefully that can bear fruit and do what it needs to do.
Yeah, they're for real. They're for real reading. Well, they're for real understanding, like, the cross in terms of their own personal bias.
Yeah.
I was actually, I was talking with, I I study theology part time. And awesome. I was isn't talking, it? I was.
I already knew that.
I was like, you definitely knew that. Yeah. So I study theology. And the other day I was talking with one of my lecturers after lecture. And we were talking about, I was basically asking her, how would you read this specific passage? And she said, well, what you need to address, first of all, whenever you're reading scripture or trying to understand something about God, is what do I want to be the answer to this question? Mm-hmm. And then once I understand what I want to be the answer to this question, before I even read what the Bible says, why do I want that to be the answer? And those questions are essentially just around removing your own bias. Mm. It appears that these people who are teaching false gospel, essentially, to the Galatians, they didn't check their own bias beforehand.
No.
And I wonder if even like maybe they intentionally avoided their own bias of pride. And Paul's like, nuh-uh, you ain't getting away with that.
Yeah,
I'm going to check it for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it for you. And then he just literally calls them out.
Yeah,
he calls them out on their pride, like you were saying. So I think it's important here that we always need to kind of be like checking ourselves. Is there any bias in me that maybe like I'm reading the scriptures in a specific way? And that reminds me of then in Galatians 3, like that humility where Paul mentions that he goes to Peter and asks him, hey, yeah, like, am I just coming up with this doctrine on my own? Or is this really like what Jesus taught? Is this really what we believe? And that's that humility of if you're unsure or if you have questions, that you should always be open to receiving the teaching of someone else and considering what they have to share. And far be it from us to boast in what we think.
Mm.
Like literally, far be it. I think that totally opens you up to then be subject. Like I don't have pride in what I think.
Mm.
I have pride in what the Spirit is transforming me to think.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's where the power is.
Wow.
Deep.
Yeah, I can tell you study theology, Zach. That's insane. Nah. That's so good. Whoa. But I love how verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yeah,
through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Mm.
Woo. Paul is saying like he doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't need to boast about anything else in his life except for the cross.
Yeah.
Because the cross is the foundation with which we build everything else in our lives. It is through Jesus's death and resurrection that we have the freedom to be and to live as followers of Jesus, who would just share that good news with all those around us.
Yeah.
And I love this. It comes back to the humility you were just speaking about, Zach, about the world as being crucified to Paul and I to the world. He literally doesn't care what the world thinks of him. Like he couldn't care less. He's like, he's standing on business. He is saying, this is the truth and you need to hear it. And I don't care what your opinions are, not out of a place of wanting to hurt people's feelings, but actually out of a place of love, of wanting people to know the truth, to be saved by grace through faith, so that they can come to know the Lord Jesus for themselves and leave behind, you know, sin and how that binds us and can hold us down, and actually to step into the freedom that Christ has for us through his Holy Spirit. It is the only thing we should boast in, is what Jesus did for us, because without that, well, we have nothing.
Sad times. About yes, that. What we do here. Like,
sorry you know guys. I mean? Sad moments.
No, it's good. And I think it's punctuated in what he says. Doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. Yeah. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. Like,
come on.
Let's stop with the division. Yeah. Let's stop with the differences. He's doing it wrong. She's doing it wrong. You're not doing this. Yeah. You should be doing that. Are we being transformed? Is the Holy Spirit working in us?
Yeah, look at your heart.
Are we being made afresh? Are we being made new? That's what matters. It's the transformation.
Yeah.
And it also, again, speaks of this patience, because transformation is a journey. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard that word, like sanctification, which is like the journey of, okay, after you've become a Christian, you've given your life to Jesus, great. You have this whole life now that you've got to work this thing out, figure out, okay, what does that mean? How do I live, you know, as a new creation? What does that look like? That's a process. And that requires patience, because we're not always going to get it right. We're not always going to, you know, be on the right path. Sometimes we'll make mistakes. Sometimes, hey, we'll believe the wrong thing. Like Paul was saying at the beginning, like sometimes we might fall into temptation, but here we are patiently, gently, lovingly calling each other up, calling each other higher, helping each other get on the right foot again, reminding each other that the thing isn't the doing. It's not the how much can you do for God? It's the, hey, you're being transformed. Like you are a new creation. That's the thing we focus on.
I love that. And speaking about transformation and new creation and the doing comes out of a place of the being with God and being grateful for what God has done for you.
Yeah.
So it's not like a, oh, I have to do this because God died for me. Oh, Jesus died for me. It's like, I get to do this because Jesus died for me. It's like flipping the perspective and being that. Like just having a heart of gratitude towards God, because thank you, Jesus, that we're all sat here today living in freedom with the Holy Spirit living inside us. Oh, I love him. And it's like we just, we get to live out and do the good works of Jesus. We get to share the fruits of the Spirit, bless our church, edify our church, like, through the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us, and bless our friends and our family who don't know Jesus as well.
Yeah.
Through the Holy Spirit that's living us, through the fruit that we will be bearing as we continue to transform and grow in this new creation that we're becoming and that we will continue to become until we reach eternity. It just makes me so excited.
I'm pumped.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, come on.
Receiving that peace and mercy.
Yeah, come on.
So good.
Peace and mercy. Yes. Hey, can we chat about verse 17?
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 17 is, I think, my favorite verse in the whole book of Galatians.
Okay.
I think it's so tough.
Wow.
So tough. Can I, permission to spew?
Absolutely. Permission granted.
Send it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for the license.
The celebration.
My pen license. Appreciate it.
Lol.
Spew license.
That's the
okay. So verse 17 says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Okay. So I read a commentary on this, and it said specifically on the marks of Jesus. Like, what does he mean by I bear on my body the marks of Jesus? Apparently, this can also be translated, I bear on my body the brand of Jesus, which that word, brand or marks, would most likely have reminded readers in the ancient world of slavery and how slave masters would often brand their slaves as like a sign of ownership, right?
Right. Mm.
And so Paul is saying, I have the sign of the ownership of Jesus over my life. He's completely submitted to Jesus. But that still leaves the question of what is the mark, the physical mark, actually meaning? Like, what is that mark? And this commentary said that the mark could most likely be understood as the literal scars from the persecution that he had faced through teaching and spreading the gospel.
Right.
So contrasted with the circumcision that he's been talking about, which is a mark or a brand of the old covenant and relationship with God, that is no longer, because we're living in the new covenant of the cross, where the marks of Jesus, the marks of ownership on the physical flesh, are, as you could say, the persecution of Jesus. Literally the scars of stones being thrown at his body, of whips hitting his back, rather than the circumcision being the mark, being the brand is the perseverance to do good things for the people of God.
That's so good, Zach.
I was like, that's so hard.
Wow.
He's saying, like, I feel like the modern day equivalent of that would be saying something like, you see these like bullet wounds. These are my signs that I'm working hard to spread the gospel. I'm like, bro, that's so tough.
Yeah, literally.
Are you kidding me?
Awesome. Bro, that's crazy.
Just pointing to your wounds and being like, yeah, that's it. I did that.
Yeah.
I did that for Jesus.
Yes.
That's how you know I'm a real Christian. No, and I think that's also kind of cool because then he's like, don't cause me any more trouble. Like, what more proof do I have to give you that I'm fighting for the benefit of you? I've gone through all of this. What more proof do you want that I'm like trying to serve you guys and and correct your teaching so that you can also step into this? Bro, Paul, so tough. Bro. So tough.
What a word.
What a word.
I love this book. I've like fallen in love with Galatians now.
Yes, sir.
That was so sick.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Paul.
And I think that's such a good conclusion as well to wrap up the whole thing of like, you guys have been trying to prove your faith based on what laws you can show on the outside. Like, and even here, it was talking about how the teachers, they're trying to force you to be circumcised to look good to others. It's all about the looking good, like to prove yourself. But actually, if we go back to the cross, like you were saying, Zach, if we go back to what the gospel actually is, like, let's get on the same page about this. And now that we're on the same page, now we know, hey, it's not about how many good things I can do. No, it's about, am I being transformed? I'm a new creation. I'm like last week talking about the fruit of the spirit. Like I'm my character's being reformed, like refined and formed to be more like the character of Jesus. That is the mark. That's the thing that we want to show on the outside, not from a place of works, but from a place of, hey, look, the transformation is happening. And if it's happening for me, it can happen for you too. Like you can enjoy what I'm enjoying just by getting to the cross, getting to know who Jesus is and letting the Holy Spirit do his work. That's such a good like conclusion.
Yes, I love that. I love the way that Paul finishes this book as well. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. It's just so, I just love him. It's leaving. It's like after he's gently and lovingly corrected them throughout this whole text and being like, hey, you guys that are preaching the false gospel, stop it. And you who are listening to their false gospel, stop it. Listen to the truth. But actually at the end of this, the grace, like grace be with you, peace be with you. And just taking it back to Jesus. Well, the whole thing is just all been about him, but just leaving them with something positive. So they're not like, oh, I have to do all these things. I have to change. I have to, you know, but hey, look at the grace that Jesus has given you and all the other things I've spoken about in this letter will actually come more easily to you.
Yeah.
Like, stop stressing. Stop stressing. Relax. Because the Lord Jesus is with you and his grace is with you. So
yeah, that's awesome. And I think just to wrap up Galatians 6 as this episode, but then also the whole series of Galatians.
Yeah.
Like, man, keep in mind that it's not about what we have to do, but about what we can receive through the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that is transformation. And sometimes that looks tough. Sometimes we have to watch out for the leaven. Sometimes we have to watch out for those little things that might, you know, like separate us from the truth. But ultimately, that's what the family of Christ is for. Mm-hmm. We're here to encourage one another, to help one another out, and to continue to point one another back towards Jesus. And so I would encourage you, if you're watching and you've now gone through the book of Galatians with us, I would encourage you just to maybe do a little bit of self-reflection. Think about, is there anything in my life maybe that I'm trying to work for my own good or trying to work to gain the approval and salvation of God? Because you don't actually need to do that. That's not a requirement. There's no prerequisites. And maybe just meditate on the grace of the cross and that you are justified through the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then you're going to have those fruits.
Yeah, come on.
You're going to have those fruits.
Where the fruits at? Where the fruits are.
Where the fruits are.
Where the fruits are. Who's calling my phone? Okay. Anyway.
No.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. It's been really fun chatting about Galatians with you.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for our next series. Do you know what book we're doing next?
I don't know if I can say it. No. So you guys are just going to have to lock in.
Hey, maybe put in the comments what you think our next Bible book is that we'll go through.
That's a good idea.
That's super fire. Yeah. Anyways, thanks for joining us. And we will see you next time on The Way UK. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm living in